And the next hour is all your employment law questions with Mr. Patrick Dolan. Hello, Patrick.
You know, I love the busyness of a Chicago summer. We look down at the river. There's so many people and boats, and everybody's so happy to be outside.
Yeah.
I love the warm weather in Chicago in the summer.
And that's what's so nice about being near the lakefront. I don't know. I didn't listen to when Ryan read the temperatures, so maybe the lakefront.
It's warm.
Yes, I knew that.
That's what it is, John.
I was going to say that sometimes the lakefront provides a nice breeze and a cool down, cooler by the lake.
Today.
It does not today. Okay.
No.
So the winds are not coming
off. It's very humid, very warm. It's beautiful. I love this weather.
Yeah, it is humid. I'm fine with it. I was doing some yarn work earlier.
Well, then you probably sweated quite a bit.
I did sweat quite a bit. Yeah. That's not what this hour is all about.
Okay.
Yeah, employment law. What is employment law all about, Patrick?
Any workplace issues. So hiring, firing, non-competes, wages. Retaliation, discrimination, harassment, anything that you encounter in the workplace, that's what I do.
Whether you are just starting, you're working there, or you just left, or were told to leave.
Right, or something in between. Maybe there's an issue at work with your boss. Maybe you've suffered some harassment from a coworker, and you're wondering what to do about it. Maybe you've been discriminated against based on a whole bunch of different protected categories under the law. So all those sorts of issues.
Mm-hmm. This is from the 708 who texted right when I teased you were coming on.
Okay.
So hopefully this makes sense. And maybe the 708 might have to call with some more details. But for Patrick Dolan, I always wanted to know how are salesperson commission chargebacks legal? If a salesperson does not collect pay in a certain period of time, the company will then charge back the salesperson. If finance approved the credit, how is that on the salesperson? I think I understand. This is where a person makes a sale, they get a commission on it, but if accounts receivable doesn't get the money from the person that said they were going to, the salesperson has to give back their commission. I think that's how I understand this, right?
Yeah, that's probably it. And Well, the compensation issue really is based on, are they even earning minimum wage, for example? You know what I mean? Because they can't earn nothing. So if they're not earning nothing because of the give back, that's a problem under basic wage employment law.
Like if
that's
they had a contract that was so big, the money had to be given back, and so their next paycheck was $0.
Right.
That's not okay.
That's not okay, because everybody needs to be paid at least minimum wage. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is it's not necessarily illegal. There are a lot of policies like that, but, you know, devil's in the details. I'd have to look at it closer, but it could be fine. It just depends on that wage issue.
It also, I imagine, depends on company policy. Like if this is well known in advance, and this is why you're told to try and get your clients to pay in advance beforehand, and the company allows payment plans instead, maybe they're covered there because they said it from the outset?
Yeah, maybe. I was actually thinking most commission plans, the quote vesting of the money is when the client pays. It's not usually when the contract is signed or something for this very
reason.
For this very reason, right. And that's well known in the policy, et cetera. It must be in order for that to be the way it is. So I'm a little surprise. That's not a common thing, the whole chargeback thing, for that reason. Companies are like, no, that's not when you, quote, earn the money.
Right. I think everyone understands, but I'm just saying that if you make a big sale, when the company pays the company, your company, you'll get your commissions based on that. That's when you get paid, so that when they sign
fine.
It, you don't get paid a big chunk, and then they go AWOL, and it turns out you owe your company back.
Yep.
We got a question about non-competes.
Okay.
Right up your alley, Patrick Dolan.
Sure,
go to Eric on WGN. Hello, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Great. What's your question for Patrick?
Well, you guys mentioned how everybody looks so happy outside on the boats, but I was wondering if the companies are happy about the new non-compete agreement ban the FTC is trying to impose, because it kind of seems to me that the companies might lose some competitive advantage and knowledge that those non-compete agreements seek to hold.
Are you speaking on behalf? It sounds like you're upset about it. Are you an employee or an employer?
Well, I am employed by an employer that would stand to lose, that knowledge,
mm-hmm. that competitive
technology,
edge,
and other things that those things protect and make my company non-competitive. Of course, as an employee, I am also somewhat worried about the other side, and so it's kind of a catch-22 for me.
That's great. That's a great tee-up to the conversation.
That really is, Eric. Thanks for your question.
And hang on the line, Eric.
Sure.
We'll make sure that Patrick actually answers it at the end of it. So let's rewind this back.
Yes, please.
Non-competes are basically you they are restrictions placed on after you leave this job. You can't go work for X job that's in this geographical area for this amount of time in
right.
a similar field.
Right.
They have to compensate you for that
yes.
non-compete.
Yes.
But that's the rule regulation. The FTC has basically said, well, no more non-competes in a few months. This will take effect. Immediate lawsuits filed. And where do you think they're going, Patrick?
Well, we have one answer to that question, but we have a couple other courts still about to decide. So the FTC ban on non-competes is nationwide. Okay, it's also retroactive. If you have one, it's not enforceable. That's supposed to go into effect on September 4th of this year. You look like you have a question right now.
You said not. So if you have one right now, it's gone. As of September 4th.
That's what the FTC rule is right now, but it has not been implemented yet.
Is it without any exceptions, or are there
some carve-outs? There's exceptions for higher paid folks. There's carve-outs for executives who are paid a certain amount. Then that retroactiveness is no good.
How high are we talking?
I think it's like $150,000 or something like that.
Okay, so yeah. I mean, a lot of listeners might be making more than that.
Yes,
good on you.
For sure.
And you still might have a non-compete.
But that is only, that's those folks who make that much money, they are still not going to have a non-compete going forward.
Oh.
I'm just talking about the ones that are already in existence.
Okay, so let's just say, generally speaking, non-competes will be gone
yes.
September 4th, according to the FTC.
Yep.
Except.
So there was a case filed, the first case that was filed in a district court in Texas. We just got an initial ruling very recently. The judge agreed to stay the implementation of the ruling. In other words, they granted a motion for preliminary injunction, okay, which stayed the implementation of the ruling as to that case, not nationwide. Then they're going to make a full decision at the end of August, before the law is supposed to be going into effect, about whether it's totally banned. But the strange thing about that court decision is we don't know if they're going to ban them as to the particular parties of that case or generally nationwide.
To everybody.
To everybody, right. Now, I don't want to make this more complicated. There are two other cases that will be decided before September 4th, when the ban is supposed to go into effect. One in Pennsylvania, one in Florida. Those courts could say straight up, and I expect them to, that the FTC's ban on non-competes is prohibited across the country.
Okay.
And then the cases are going to go up to the Circuit Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court.
Right. So there's a couple different cases out there, as you'd expect. This often happens. Some cases are very specific to one party or two parties involved. There's other cases that might have broader implications. You reading the tea leaves seem to think and indicate that these courts very likely, or maybe more likely than not, I should say, to say, yeah, no, the FTC doesn't have this authority.
And yes, and that's what I've said for a long time. Now, Eric's question and insights are particularly interesting, because the ruling by the court in Texas, part of the reason they stayed initially the FTC's ban is because they said, FTC, you did not take into account in your, quote, research, et cetera, that non-competes can be good and helpful and legitimate and serve a proper purpose for a company, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you just didn't take that sufficiently into account when you decided to ban them. So it's two things, John, really. The FTC doesn't have the power. That's the Chevron thing we were talking about
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
As an agency, they've overstepped their bounds. And the other one is, it's just overly inclusive. It's just this mammoth decision without any exceptions, without taking into consideration the things that Eric was pointing out as to the benefits of non-competes for businesses. I just cannot imagine how this ban is going to actually become law. I don't see it happening.
I agree with you. The 708 says, what are you guys talking about? If you're just joining us, we're talking about non-competes. If you've been joining us the whole time, I apologize. I know this can get a little into the weeds. Non-competes are, again, your employer that you currently have saying, oh, by the way, if you leave or we fire you, you can't go work at a similar company.
Right.
Doing similar things. In Illinois, they're already banned at anyone making under $70,000.
$75,000. Yeah. Yep.
If you're making over that, you might have a non-compete. A lot of people don't. Some people do.
So just
go to Eric and see how we're doing.
Sure.
Eric, how are we doing on answering your question?
No, I think that answers it. And, like, I was looking at it from perspective, and I didn't realize the 70K in Illinois. But if you have a security guard, there are multiple cases of them having to sign non-competes and not being able to work for a competitor within a 100-mile radius. And to me, so what, I guess, knowledge are you as a company going to lose from a security guard leaving you?
Right. Well, Eric, the reason, Eric, I hate to interrupt, but the reason for the rule was because of submarine shop workers, machine, like the Subway. It wasn't Subway,
no,
it was a similar sandwich
shop
company
maker,
not allowing them to go to a different sandwich shop for trying to bring that sandwich information on over.
Like Jimmy John's?
I don't say it.
You're kidding.
It's a public case.
Someone can Google it. Yes, Eric, that's how it all started.
Yeah, it is. So you're right on, Eric. You're spot on as to why. Because it's not a legitimately protectable interest. The company has no reason that the security guard or the sandwich maker shouldn't go somewhere else and do the same thing. There's nothing to protect there. So you're right.
Right. All right, Eric, did we do okay?
Yeah, you guys did awesome. Really appreciate taking the call.
Thanks for the question.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, security guard. I guess if they're making over 75K.
There's lots of jobs like that. There's no protectable interest.
Let me just ask then, though. Okay. So is that salary threshold, and this is Illinois only, $75,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the only rule about it, or do you still, even if someone's making 100, do you have to show a good reason to have a non-compete? Like, do you have to? Are there other levels of that you have to have?
No, it's the same test. It's just that
what is the test? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, okay. So the test has to be it has to be reasonable in terms of geographic scope.
Right. You can't say you can't work this sort of job.
Anyone in the U.S. when the company only works in Illinois?
Not allowed.
Not allowed. And that it happens a lot. It has to be reasonable as to time. 1 or 2 years, fine. 3 or 4, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it has to be limited reasonably as to what you can do. It really should only limit what you did for the former employer. Not just, you can't just go over to a company and do any job.
Right. Okay? If you were an accounts receivable at one company.
And then suddenly you're a marketing person or whatever. You just have nothing to do with anything. Then those are the three things. And as a threshold matter, John, real quick. It has to protect a legitimate business interest. Businesses have to say, this is how we're going to be harmed if this person goes over here and does this job.
Right. And they have to compensate you for that, right?
They do. They do have to compensate
you. When
you
leave, they have to compensate you?
If they compensate you at the beginning, like when you get your offer letter and there's a 2-year non-compete, and they give you some money or something, that's all they need to do.
Okay. All right. Okay. So those are really great questions, by the way. If you have a non-compete, you like looking at those.
I love looking at those.
I was going to say, you're so excited
to really
read.
Really excited.
Yeah. So
Eric's question, I'm just really excited about it.
If you have a non-compete and you think it's unfair, when should they bring it to you? After they leave the company and the company's trying to do something against them? Or can someone rewrite it in the middle of their job? Or is that going to ruffle too many feathers?
I am so relieved when somebody comes to me when they have a job and they're like, I think I'm going to get a new job and I want to work at this company. Can I do it? Because I have a non-compete. And we walk through a whole bunch of different issues. Most people come to me at that time. John, if they leave and they get a new job, and they don't have the conversation with the new company about the non-compete, they could be out of 2 jobs. If the old company says you're violating the non-compete, the new company is like, what is going on? I didn't even know you had a non-compete. You're fired. So there's so many things to make all of that better. The earlier, the better for someone to come to an employment lawyer and have that all laid out. This is what you should do. What you should do.
You can say come to you. You don't have to say an employment lawyer. You
can go
to Patrick Dolan of Conti Dolan.
Thanks, John.
312-332-7800 is your
number. That's on your arm.
It's tattooed. 312-981-7200 is my phone number. 708, if there's time, I have this question. I've seen a video of a certain host harassing Tommy Hawk. What options does Tommy Hawk have? What exactly compromises harassment in the workplace? What evidence do you need to have to make a claim? Okay, I think I know what this texter's calling about. In our scheduled release video for the Blackhawks, a host who will remain nameless kind of made fun of Tommy Hawk for not being able to fly. It upset Tommy Hawk and he stormed off. Is that harassment in the workplace?
It's just mean, first of all. And whoever that is, it really needs some counseling, perhaps,
because
they're just mean. I'm not sure it's illegal, but I don't know. I'll have to talk to that person.
You'll have to talk to Tommy Hawk.
No, except that person who harassed Tommy Hawk.
Oh, well, you're not going to talk to him. If you want to talk to Tommy Hawk, he also doesn't talk. So let's go to Amy on the phone line, which is a much more serious question. Hello, Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing great. What's your question?
My question is, I resigned from my position at my company. It's a fairly large healthcare organization, and I want to know, do they have to pay me my earned PTO time?
100% yes. They do.
Okay.
If you have accrued earned PTO, they need to pay that with your final paycheck, or if for some reason they can't, then at the next regularly scheduled payday. But yes,
okay,
is the answer to your question.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter why you left. If you resigned or got terminated or whatever, PTO must be paid to you when you leave, regardless of the circumstance.
Okay, because I got a paycheck yesterday because I had my last day was last week, but I'm just wondering, am I going to get a different check now that's got all the PTO that I earned?
It might be on the next one.
Yeah, it really shouldn't be handled that way, frankly, but at the very least, it must be on that next paycheck. You might want to follow up, though.
Yeah,
I think it's a little weird they didn't include that with your final paycheck.
And Amy, you have accrued PTO, right? Like this
earned. She said earned, so
correct.
I'm going with that.
Okay, okay.
How much?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it always said. It said earned PTO, and then it had like a year to date and all of that.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Right,
good
thanks.
Luck, Amy.
And if it doesn't work, call Patrick.
Please. 312. It's a quick one.
Yep. 312-332-7800. We got questions about a whistleblower text today.
Sure.
WGN, John Hanson here. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Oh, and I should mention, Patrick Dolan.
Go ahead, please.
And I want to give credit to Iridian here.
Always.
As well. Just a couple of days ago was the third-year anniversary of Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.
Happy anniversary.
3 years this show has made it. I cannot believe how far
Iridian's
it's
still here.
Iridian,
with
grab
you?
The mic. Let's get Iridian on the show. I just want to say thank you.
I thought you
were
going to say, I can't believe Iridian's still here with you.
Well,
okay.
I can't believe she's still here with
that's
me
what
in terms
I mean.
Of dealing
yeah,
with me.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Hey, Iridian, happy third year working together anniversary.
Is that why you're wearing the cone hat? It's like a party?
Yes. Happy.
I didn't know it was 3 years. That's crazy.
Yeah, happy anniversary,
Iridian. Happy anniversary.
Oh, you guys are so cute.
Iridian started working on this show and I together. She had worked at WGN for a little bit before then.
Like a month, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, who's this Iridian they've assigned to work with? And she's a delight. She does this show. And then when they added Your Money Matters to the schedule, like 6 months later, they were like, Iridian's going to be your producer there, too. And I was just thrilled.
I'll be straight up honest. It's the reason I show up.
That is so sweet.
Iridian
Patrick.
Is the
thank
reason
you.
I'm here.
Iridian is an
she
amazing
is
human.
Awesome.
No, and it was very exciting. For years and years, I'd filled in at WGN. It was the first time to have my own show where I didn't have to say filling in for someone.
Right.
I have to admit, it was a big deal to me. It was very exciting to
do. Of course, it's very exciting.
Just even once a week, and then getting to do Your Money Matters is a thrill. Anytime I can chat with our amazing listeners and some really cool guests is a godsend.
Well, you're extremely good at your job.
Well, that's I wasn't
and
teeing you up for that.
Well, you paid me. And Iridian makes you even a little bit better.
She does. She makes me as best I can be. So thank you, Iridian.
It's been a great time. I love it.
Yeah. Here's to three more. Maybe more than three. 30 more.
Iridian's like, nope.
Yeah.
30.
Three down, 30 to go, everybody. Here we go.
3 decades.
Okay, so let's get to more questions here. Employment law from Conti Dolan is Patrick. He
That's
is
me.
Reachable at 312-332-7800 or right now at 312-981-7200. A friend of mine who is a manager, says the texter,
okay.
had a complaint filed against them by one of their employees. The employee made an allegation of favoritism to the HR director. Now, the manager's not allowed to ask any questions about the allegation. He or she has to wait for the investigation to complete. Feels like guilty until proven innocent. Does it make sense for this manager to hire an attorney? This friend is concerned about unnecessarily things escalating if you were to hire a lawyer. And that's got to be a common situation.
It is.
You're a boss. Someone's made an allegation against you. And now, essentially, you don't get to know anything about it, which I guess sort of makes sense.
Well,
talk us through it.
Yeah, I will. So the company will start an investigation. In order to do a proper investigation, which needs to happen right away, they'll ask a bunch of questions of the person accused of wrongdoing or inappropriate conduct. In asking the questions, they have to impart information about the complaint. Okay, they're not going to give this person a lot of information, but they need to give them some. And I think the person who is accused of some wrongdoing has a right to know what it is they're accused of so they can respond in enough detail to make the investigation sufficient, thorough, etc.
Could it be that they're just going through early phases of this and then they eventually will ask the manager to chime in?
Yes, because normally in investigation, I'm not saying this is the right way, but I've done a lot of investigations. This is how I do it. I start with the person who has made the accusation, because I want to know not just the facts, that's what they're complaining about. I want to know if they're witnesses, i.e., who should I talk to? Emails, documents, pictures, whatever it is, I want to gather that information from the person making the accusation. Then I talk to witnesses, look at emails, documents, etc. The last thing I do typically is talk to the person who's been accused of wrongdoing, because I want to ask them everything I have learned about these accusations. And I don't want to have to come back, frankly, to anybody, because this is a difficult, stressful process.
You don't want to go back, forth,
he said. No, I am not going to do that. Right. So the person accused of wrongdoing is my last interview.
But they may know they're under some sort of investigation.
They probably do, because HR departments are leak often. So
if this person finds out one day, and I'm not saying this is going to happen to your friend, to the 312, but let's say the HR comes back and they said, we conducted an investigation, you're fired. And that person never got a chance to talk about it. That would not be fair, would it?
It wouldn't be, and that's not a good and a thorough investigation. The issue becomes if the person who was fired claims that they were fired improperly, like for some protected category, John, that we've been through many times, let's just say race, okay? Then the company will want to use that investigation as a defense to that claim. If they did not interview the person accused of improper behavior, man, that is very hard for the company to use that, because it's not a thorough investigation. Because I would say, you didn't even talk to my client. How can you terminate them for these allegations without communicating with them?
What about the person who the texter saying, would this escalate to things too much if the manager were to call someone like you? I don't think so, right?
And people are concerned about that all the time. So, and I say, listen, there are a couple ways to do it. I don't have to be explicitly involved at the beginning. I can say, here's what you should say. Here's what you should do. I can help them write emails, okay, to HR, to their boss, the CEO of the company, whoever, so they can be positioned in the right place. If they're really, really concerned about the fact that explicitly bringing a lawyer in will make the situation worse, that's a legitimate concern. Mm-hmm. That's not usually how it works, especially if my client's been fired or about to be fired. It's a serious allegation of sexual harassment or sexual assault. Sometimes I've been involved in those situations. Like, you really want a lawyer, and then it's not, I think the concerns are much lower that doing that will escalate it.
So
kind of depends on what the investigation is.
But this friend could call you.
Yes.
Talk through it.
Yes.
You could start to know what's happening on the inside. Have this person send emails that you help them write,
yes,
but they're not signed by Patrick Dolan. They're signed by the employee.
Right.
You're just essentially coaching them through this process.
Right.
And then if, God forbid, this person does get laid off or something squirrely happens with the investigation, you've been brought in from the beginning,
right,
and kind of know the thread of this, and you're off to a quicker start than if you are called the day the person gets laid off.
Yes. And also because the process is so important, like I can... if there are any failings on the part of the company as to how they handled it, I will know those right away and frankly kind of facilitate.
You're going to write
those.
That mean letter way quicker.
Yeah. And also,
you're going to have that mean letter already written.
It'll all be written.
Yeah. And then they're going to be like, hey, I got fired. And you're going to hit the send button
the next time.
And vroom, right over gone. To the
It'll
company. Yeah.
So, but a lot of people are just so stressed out, John, about being involved in that situation. Like, what do I do? What do I say? Who do I talk to? How do I say it?
Yeah.
And I talk to people all the time. I understand this is what you do.
Right. Let's just point out, I do want to say, we went through the gamut of possibilities.
Okay.
The 312 says the employee made an allegation of favoritism. This maybe not end up being a fireable offense.
Right, right, right. That's a great thing to pick
this
up on.
This wasn't sexual assault or anything like that.
Yes, because I was thinking about, when I heard the word favoritism, like, that's not illegal.
Right.
But then it could be, if it's based on a protected category.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. Right.
So just
if this like, person always likes people under the age of 40 and not over the
age
of 40.
Over women.
Or whatever the case may be.
You know, sales job.
But if this is one person making one claim that is not a bunch of other people, the investigation will play out. Doesn't hurt to call you and loop you in on this thing.
Yeah, because I have a lot of questions. Maybe it,
right.
Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just really favoritism that's not illegal, but maybe it is.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312, I'm going to text you Patrick Dolan's number just to make sure you have it so you can give it to your friend. More with Patrick after this on 720 WGN. Hey, Patrick.
You know, I wish you were on camera as you read that because it was extremely theatrical.
That's how I do
it. Like your whole acting, you know, background.
Iridian's probably so sick of it. I do hand motions.
Oh, no, you had them all, you had it all going.
My facial expressions
A lot of facial expression.
Well, you know, when I...
It's when you hopped off the chair and did a little dance that I was... That was unexpected.
You know, if someone cares enough about our station and values our listeners enough to pay to advertise on our station like these fine folks have done...
Listen.
I am going to sell it to people because it's true. Route 66 is awesome.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of nostalgia there. And it's so fun to drive down and stop at some of these places. So
I just want people to see how good you are at, you know, doing your job, John.
You know, I've always done that when I do radio stuff. John Williams is the same way. He is very expressive in the way he reads those reads. And he feels the same way. If you took the time and energy and money to try and reach listeners, which is what we do at WGN Radio, is connect to it. You get listeners calling you all the time.
Yes, I do.
This is what we do. So I give it a little bit more. I wanted to go back to the texter that had worried about their friend who was a manager who was being investigated for favoritism. And the texter made the comment, it seems like guilty until proven innocent. While that may seem unfair because we're used to the opposite in criminal law, this ain't criminal law. Do you feel like companies, especially in this day and age, where rightfully so, we're worried about certain things that happen in the workplace and we've gone great care to make sure that certain things don't happen in the workplace. Are we in an era of guilty until proven innocent?
I think to some extent, maybe more so than usual, starting with, you know, the Me Too movement, et cetera, and the concerns, legitimately so, that companies have that, you know, to protect women who have, you know, brought forth allegations of harassment, et cetera. So I don't want to say guilty until proven innocent. There's a presumption that what the person complaining about is true, okay? And so to overcome that presumption, and it's a pretty high bar, you really have to show that what she or he is saying is false, absolutely wrong. And that is hard to do in like a he said, she said situation where it's just two people, a man and a woman, for example, who have an encounter of some sort.
I just want to stop here. I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. You're kind of putting this in the sexual harassment realm.
I am, because that's how it happens most, frankly.
Right. Okay. What about other things like favoritism or based on ageism, things along those lines? Do you think that companies are still overly concerned about litigation to the point that they will believe the accuser immediately and then you have to prove them wrong?
I think the way the caller is using that phrase, guilty until proven innocent, is more applicable to sexual harassment scenarios than the ones that you outlined.
Okay.
I don't think companies are, I don't want to say quick to judge. I don't think they're as, you know, they just look at those things differently because
they are different.
They are different, for sure.
Yes.
And they look at it differently. And so a person accused of sexual harassment, absolutely without doubt, has a higher hill to climb to overcome that during an investigation than someone who was accused of age discrimination, for example.
And that's hard because I get why companies do that.
Of course I do. I do too. I'm just saying it's really difficult. The person in the situation where they're accused of something illegal, not favorable. Favoritism is not illegal unless the favoritism is based on race or gender or age or something. That's discrimination. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's really hard for the person accused of wrongdoing to show that it didn't happen, or if it happened, it didn't happen like that. It's a very challenging situation for everybody, especially in the sexual harassment realm.
847 is a part-time or was a part-time employee, a very part-time employee at a hotel.
Okay.
I won't say where. They were a whistleblower against the former GM, says the texter. Who was walked out, the former GM. The present GM, though, worked very closely with the former GM. I'm on medical leave. He canceled my Limited, I think there's a typo here. No explanation. I've been there since 2018. I feel like he is retaliating for my past actions. I'm also the oldest employee. There's a lot going on here.
There's a lot.
Let's break this down in some generics.
Sure.
If you are a very part-time employee, seasonal, 10 to 15 mm-hmm. hours a week, which I know this texter is, are you entitled to medical leave?
Typically not, frankly. The Family and Medical Leave Act requires you to work, you know, 1,200 hours a year in order to qualify for mm-hmm. an employer that has 50 or more employees. So under the federal FMLA, no, you wouldn't even qualify. I don't know what medical leave, maybe, I don't know. It could be a whole bunch of different things protected by state law or something like that, but
so
typically no.
So a company that maybe was overly generous, it seems,
yes,
in this case.
Yes, although let's say,
and I don't know 847 the circumstances,
right.
But let's say they were extending you a lifeline for a good reason. Mm-hmm. Good on them. They should. That would be great to do if companies did that more often. If they were to retract it, since it was not required in the first place, I imagine there's not as many rules about a retraction of medical leave, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, yes is the answer to the question. That's unusual. Companies usually don't do that for folks.
So don't retreat it or take it back.
No, they don't provide medical leave
when they don't need to.
Right.
Let's talk about retaliation.
Yes.
Are there cases to be made for people that felt like in that situation? Let's leave the part-time thing aside.
Yes, right.
Let's say that this person was a full-time employee, was the whistleblower about a GM doing something wrong. Guess what? The new GM, there's a song about it, new boss, same as the old boss. We work closely together. You're retaliated against because of your initial whistleblower. That person would have a claim, right?
Probably, yes. And I say probably because it depends on what the person is complaining about to begin with, whether it's illegal or not. It's much, much harder when you're complaining about something that's frankly not illegal, i.e. favoritism or something like that, and then you're retaliated against. It's almost like small r, not illegal retaliation, you know what I mean? Mm. Then it's actually okay. There is a lot of retaliation that people think is illegal when it's actually not. Because if you don't complain about something illegal and then you're disciplined, terminated for it, it's a much, much harder retaliation claim to make. And probably you don't even have one, frankly. Mm. So what you need to complain about is actually something illegal. Now, if this person complained about their old boss doing something illegal, and I really use that term broadly, it could be a whole bunch of different things, and they're gone, and the new boss retaliates against them for complaining about the old boss, absolutely illegal, 100%. So that's a clear-cut case. We just have to know what he or she complained about.
630 was saying, what about discussing wages? If I get fired for discussing wages, is that protected?
Yes, it is protected speech, and you should not be fired for... You cannot be fired under the law for talking about your wages.
Any difference between part-time and full-time?
No. Okay. It's retaliation. Nope, it is.
So if you were discussing wages with your coworker, you are entitled to do that. Companies
absolutely
don't necessarily love that you do it. And that is definitely a thing that is catching on. The Gen Zers and young millennials, they are all about telling each other how much they make.
I know.
I get the power of that. I still don't get it in my brain to do it. That's not how I was raised in the business world, but like I totally get it as well. Like I'm not trying to judge people, but either way, you can't be fired.
I literally just saw a company policy yesterday, John, that prohibited employees from discussing wages in the workplace, and I represented the company in that case. I'm like, you have to take that out. You can't prohibit employees from discussing wages with their coworkers in the workplace. You cannot.
Even in the workplace?
No. No. People can discuss their wages.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, right? And like, again, I roll my eyes a little bit when people do it, but I also do know that that's sometimes ways to close gaps in payment, right?
Yeah,
gender-based or other reasons.
Right. And until we have this whole transparency thing, you know, the law of the land where everybody has to, you know, companies have to put out what people are making for different jobs, how else are you going to find out, honestly?
Yeah, I know. So, right. And right. Exactly. I don't know. I'm torn on it.
Wait, why are you torn? I don't understand.
Well,
like, why should they not be able to talk about it?
No, it's not. I think you should be able to. I don't think anyone should be fired for doing it.
Sure.
I guess I'm more thinking from a ethical or more just like a, is that uncouth to do? It just feels icky to me that people would discuss those sorts of things because I feel like it could breed a sense among certain people that I'm not being paid because I'm not as that much because I'm not as, You know, maybe they're going to invent reasons why they're not paid that much, when the reality is how long they work there, how hard they work, what they bring to the company. I think it can fester an environment where people feel underpaid, and maybe they're underpaid for a reason, or they're paid less than for a reason.
Yeah, as long as it's a legitimate legal reason. That risk is worth taking in my mind, because I represent a lot of women with equal pay issues. And how am I going to find out the information?
That's fair, right? You know what I mean? And when you make that argument, that is I get it.
Yes, of course, and that's so important. I just think you can't. There's no real way to parse that. So you just have to be able to talk about wages in the workplace.
6 year old says, sounds like you're afraid that someone might find out how much you make. Maybe it's not how much.
Maybe like, wow.
Maybe it's not
you're
how
only paid
much.
That?
No,
I feel sorry for you.
No, and I'm not going to say it here, I'm not going to tell anyone either. Like,
no, I get
that's a discussion between me and my boss.
But you should be able to have that discussion if you want.
That's fine. I don't think anyone should be fired for it.
100%.
I'm just not.
And
telling,
the law would agree with you, John.
I'm not telling you in any of my jobs what it is. I don't know why I haven't.
Wait, I know. Can
that.
I share?
No, you do not know.
Oh shoot.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're running out of time. 312-332-7800 is Patrick Dolan's number. Who should be reaching you? What's your elevator pitch? You don't have to rush through. You got about a minute.
Oh, really? Give the slow. No, it's like all the way to
the
top.
A little
50
quicker
floors.
Than that. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody with workplace issues, especially these days, there's still a lot of non-compete questions, like Eric asked that really good question. And a lot of bonus and commission issues, a lot of separation agreements. Mm. And employment agreements, questions in the workplace about how to handle harassment situations with your boss or a coworker, anything workplace related, I am happy to talk with you with.
Okay.
About. With. That was with twice.
That's okay. The grammar police will get you.
Yes, I know.
On
well,
the text
you,
line.
You are. I thought you would pick up on that.
Oh, no. People, the texters know I'm the worst with grammar on the station, and they will remind me of it pretty constantly. Patrick, it's good to talk to you, my
Thanks,
friend.
Buddy.